some of the best evangelical moments I've had have been in the smoking areas of clubs.
Yeah.
I was at a nightclub with some friends in London. We were just inside and the vibe was terrible. And I turned around to my friend and I was like, the vibe's terrible in here. I hate this. And he was like, I hate it as well. Not like, as in like, everyone was enjoying themselves, but like, it felt heavy, the presence. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is not fun. So we stuck outside, sort of chatted a bit, and I was like, I felt heavy. And he was like, yeah, I felt heavy too. And I was like, is there any chance I can pray for you about this? Because I feel like there's some like thing going on here. Mm-hmm. Anyway, end up having this like crazy half an hour like prayer session in the nightclub, like smoking area in the middle of London. And I was like, what, Lord, you are just in all these places. Like, yeah. You're still rocking up even when I'm not expecting you to be there.
Like you said, if you wait every single time you're going to feel ready, you're never going to say yes to anything.
Yeah.
And actually, it can be a real growth point to do something when you don't feel ready for it. And actually, that's the point when you're relying on God to use you and to take control of that moment and to push you. Yeah. And that's where leadership grows and can come from.
If you're striving for popularity, you're getting it wrong from the get-go. Like, that's not the point. Ultimately, we're leading for the glory of God.
Mm.
And we're leading for the kingdom of God to be brought down here on earth. Popularity just isn't part of that. It can come with it, because naturally, I think as Christians, you know, Jesus was quite popular when he did what he did, but it's because he stuck out and stood out. He didn't strive to be that, I don't think.
Welcome to Life and the Universe. My name is Lydia Bennett, and this is the podcast where I am joined by students from around the UK to talk about following Jesus at university. We are not afraid of any topic on the podcast. We talk about all things uni life, but ultimately we are here because we want to know how we can live for Jesus during our student days. On this episode, we are asking the question, are uni students too young to be good leaders?
So whether it's being a course rep, a society president, a sports team captain, a small group leader at church, or just the one who somehow kind of ends up organising everything. I feel like leadership really shows up everywhere at uni, even when we don't go looking for it. So some people chase leadership roles, others avoid them completely, and some just end up leading by accident just because someone has to step up. But what actually makes a good leader? Is it confidence? Is it popularity? Having the loudest voice in the room? Well, Jesus offers a very different picture of leadership. So in Matthew chapter 20, verse 26, he says, "Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant." So in this episode, we are exploring what godly leadership looks like at university. So to help me explore this, I am joined by John, Marcus and Grace.
Hey. Hello.
Welcome.
Hello. Thank you.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to the podcast. To start off, as per usual, can you introduce yourselves? Who are you? What do you study? All those things. All the important bits of information.
Yeah, I'm Marcus. I'm at the Uni of Warwick. Just started doing a one-year master's, three-year PhD, looking at cancer vaccines. And it's great. I'm loving it. Loving life up there. A bit foggy,
okay. Yeah. It's interesting you say cancer vaccine, like it was so quick that time, but in previous episodes...
I've had practice to now work out more what I'm doing.
You really... What did you say last time? You were like, bio...
No idea.
Material.
Biomaterials. What I'm actually doing is, hopefully, we're going to be working on something that might be used in a possible cancer vaccine.
Okay.
So that's my project. Yeah.
Wow.
Just give you the little
lifesaver. Really. Lifesaver.
Oh, I don't know about that. That feels well good.
Cutting edge.
You're
like, yeah, I'll take it.
Up yours. Take me away.
This guy.
How about you, John?
My name's John. I'm a second year theology student at the University of Oxford.
Also saving lives. Just also differently.
Thanks.
He's like, I'll take it again.
If you insist.
Take you away.
Grace, and you?
I am also a first year theology student in Oxford. Yeah.
Nice. How's it been so far?
I've loved it. I've only done like 8 weeks, but it's been a crazy term. Mm. Like, it's surprising how like quick 8 weeks goes.
Yeah.
But it's pretty solid.
And you're in the same college as...
We are. We're in Wycliffe Hall.
Yeah. Big up.
Have you got any of like the Harry Potter trail in your hall, your college?
Not our college.
No.
No, definitely.
Our friends' our college.
Yeah. Christchurch.
Christchurch. Yeah.
Is it true about like the inter-college, like, you know, there's a bit of inter-college beef I've heard. Something called bumps.
Bumps.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the bumps. Like the boat race bumps.
Mm. Oh, is that what it's? How are you? Okay.
He knows more about university know this, than you yeah. do.
Well, we're not really winning in bumps because we row with Queen's College.
Mm.
For context, bumps is where they have two boats. And shockingly, they have to bump into each other, basically. And if you okay. bump into the one in front, I think,
yeah,
you, like, win.
And it's the college that has the most bumps that wins.
Yeah.
Although, what we are winning in is there's a great ice cream shop in Oxford called G&D's.
Mm.
And every boat season, they have, like, a little tally on the board of the amount of, like, ice cream a college buys. Mm. And we are currently leading.
Really?
In that we are.
Yeah. I don't know, what does that say about your college?
Evangelism.
I don't, yeah.
Yeah.
Can I take you for an ice cream? Yes.
Yeah.
Adds it on the tally.
Yeah, very cheap.
Context, what a Christian, Wycliffe is a Christian college.
Let's talk about Jesus while we have an
while
ice cream.
While we have an ice cream, yeah.
Great, yeah.
I mean, to be fair, if someone asked me for an ice cream, I'd have to say, you can't say no to that,
no,
can you?
No.
You can't say no.
It's also really good ice cream.
You've said no to an ice cream?
Do you hate fun?
Maybe I do.
Okay, moving swiftly on. Let's get straight to it. What makes a good leader? At university.
God, that's a huge question.
It's a huge question, but I thought we'd dive straight in.
At university, what makes a good leader? Well, I think often at university, it's probably people's first leadership experience.
Mm-hmm.
Very rarely do you find someone who's had like years of experience coming in as a fresher.
Yeah.
And the other thing I would say, even though it's a short time, it's 3 years, there's like quite well-defined, normally sort of like succession to leadership, so we say. Like the training is there, the support is there. You know, you start in your first year. Let's say you're a part of a Christian union, for example. You start in your first year, you're probably quite heavily involved. You probably are sort of turning up to a lot of things. Second year, you've probably, the current president might have already picked you out and been like, you could be a really good leader. Mm-hmm. And so I think at university, good leadership often looks like showing up. It's actually just like being there, being the person who, when no one wants to do the, you know, the night shift, handing out hot chocolate to people drunk coming out of whatever our university club's called Pop, I think never been, clearly.
You should,
but like, but yeah.
Have you not been evangelizing?
do you know what you say? Actually, some of the best. Evangelical moments I've had have been in the smoking areas of clubs.
Yeah.
Some of the craziest. I was at a nightclub with some friends in London, we were just inside and the vibe was terrible. And I turned around to my friend and I was like, "The vibe's terrible in here. I hate this." And he was like, "I hate it as well." Not like as in like everyone was enjoying themselves, but like that, like the it felt heavy, the presence. Mm. And I was like, "This is not fun." So we stuck outside. Sort of chatted a bit, and I was like, "I felt heavy," and he was like, "Yeah, I felt heavy too." And I was like, "Is there any chance I can pray for you about this? Because like, I feel like there's some like thing going on here."
Mm.
Anyway, end up having this like crazy half an hour like prayer session in the nightclub, like smoking area in the middle of London, and I was like, "What, Lord? You are just in all these places. Like, you're still rocking up even when I'm not expecting you to be there." Yeah, crazy. Mm-hmm. Back to leadership. Showing up counts at university. Being there counts. And yeah, being able to say yes and wanting to say yes to things, I think, is probably the first step in being a good leader at university.
Like, just not being a flake. It actually goes a long way.
Being reliable.
University. Because for like university, you can be quite anonymous, can't you? There's not a lot of opportunity. Well, you don't always have to be committed to things. And I think that is a great thing about university. You don't have to keep coming back to different societies. But actually, yeah, I think you're right. It goes a long way to stick at something.
Mm.
How about you guys? What does a good leader at university look like?
I think someone who's supportive and like humble as well in their leadership. Someone who's very much like serving and willing to do like every role. Actually, I love the principal of our college, Michael. I think he's a really great leader.
Mm.
And, you know, he was there. He just gets stuck into college life. He was serving at our Christmas formal, which was just such a joy to see.
Mm.
And he's just very humble, not self-deprecating, but just very much present and willing to have conversations and to make difficult decisions.
Yeah, for sure.
Leader is a very broad term. But I guess I'd say not being a one-man army or a one-woman army. like, you've got to surround yourself with people. You can't just think that you can do it all yourself. I think that's very prideful. Mm-hmm. And not just people, but also having God in the equation. You know, being a person of prayer, being someone that knows that you actually haven't got it all, because you don't, because the Bible says we don't. So yeah, that's what I'd say.
Yeah, no, I think I agree with you all. I think humility is so important, isn't it? I think, but again, I often feel like it's a quality that we often chuck out, but very easy to say, but harder to do. But I think you're right. At university, I think sometimes just showing up is important, and being consistent and reliable. I think I even think about my university experience, and I feel like there were lots of times where I probably wasn't the best person for the job, but because I was consistent and because I kept showing up and was someone that could be relied upon, they asked me to do something.
Sure you were the best person.
But there were some times where I thought I've never done this before. Mm. But because someone knew my name or knew my face, they went up to me. And I think actually that meant that I had opportunities to grow in something or do something that I didn't know I was good at, because I just like showed
trial
up.
By fire.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you don't know what's going to come from the unexpected either. Like, I think God can really use that and grow you in that.
For sure. What kind of leader are you? It's interesting, Marcus, you said when you come in as a fresher, you often don't have loads of opportunities, kind of, or not many people have a lot of experience with leadership. Obviously, Grace, you are a fresher.
I am a fresher.
John, you're in second year.
Yes.
What kind of leader are you?
I might lead two societies at Oxford. But I guess the
subtle drop.
I may
lead to.
Well, I guess I won't go into that. But I also lead something in the Christian Union, which is club outreach, which is where we go out in between sort of Spoons and the club called Bridge. So we're on the bridge before Bridge, and when people, you know, flock from Spoons to Bridge at midnight, we're there. Handing out Biscoff biscuits and gospel tracts. OIQ, shout out OIQ, Oxford Christian Union. We have our own tracts with the gospel in, and invites to some of our weekly apologetics events. And to touch on your point, I started to lead that when I was in my first year, because I just showed up. So I agree. Leadership, showing up, like showing that you're committed and you love doing what you're doing. And that's sort of how I got in the roles of the other things too.
I think I've learned a lot over my time at uni about what leadership should look like. I'm still trying to learn. There's so much to learn. I think the thing that I've learned the most and I've sort of gained an understanding for is actually sort of the weight of leadership, I think. This isn't something to be taken on lightly. That being said, that doesn't mean to run away from leadership. We shouldn't be hiding from it. But like, there is a weight that comes with responsibility when others are looking around and they're trying to think, you know, who's gonna do that? And you're the person, like the buck stops with you at the end of the day. And so I think initially I was probably quite naive to that, but the more experience that I've got leading things on that point, everybody is called to be a leader at some point. And leadership looks so different depending on who you are. But there will be some sort of responsibility that you're going to have to sort of take on. And so I think for me, it was definitely that. I try to be someone who leads out of like love, basically, for others. I think that's how you want to do it if you can. But often I think I probably find myself leading out of wanting to do well at something or like to achieve something, or definitely in the past a label, like, you know, I was never president, but like I was a prefect at school. You've got to do what I've got to say. And like, as much as I tried not to fall into that trap, 100% I probably did sometimes. 100%.
It's funny you mentioned that. That was definitely me as well. Like I was the prefect at school, and I think often took quite a lot of pride in that and was enjoyed being kind of chosen and being seen.
Yeah.
And I think I notice in myself almost like a kind of something that someone saw in me was kind of distorted to boost my ego. And I think that can be a trap kind of that we fall into, that something that we might have like a gifting or a calling to leadership, but it can be distorted, or even the enemy can distort it so that it's used as a sort, like a source of pride rather than actually something that is used to serve people as well.
Yeah.
How about you, Grace? What kind of leader are you?
So I'm obviously just started uni, so I think I did a lot of leading last year. So I was on a gap year. I was an intern for my church, and I worked in a primary school, and I did a lot of leading of youth groups and Bible studies and small groups. And I think you really, especially in like Christian leadership, you really feel the weight of that and the responsibility.
Yeah.
Because it is a responsibility, teaching the Bible. It's something that I really, really enjoyed, as well as, yeah, found it very kind of like humbling.
Mm.
But yeah, I'm very much like at CU right now, love club outreach and getting stuck in, and would be looking like in the future of where I can lead, but where you can lead well. And again, not like doing it for your ego. Like, it's great to feel chosen and to be like, oh yeah, I'm a great leader. But actually remember at the end of the day that you're leading to glorify God and not for your own self and ego and CV.
Yeah. I mean, and also, Marcus, you mentioned that we don't have to have a title to lead.
Yeah.
Like, everyone has a responsibility in some capacity. So what does it actually look like to lead without a title, or even to lead from behind?
Yeah, I think a lot of it comes down to sort of understanding what biblical leadership is. So we've got to flip the script a bit here. Like, worldly leadership says, I need to be perfect, I need to be the best, I need to do this. You know, you're growing up, you go play rugby, it was always the guy who was really good on the rugby team who was picked to be the rugby captain. Like, that was just how it was, because like, he was the best player, right? That is not biblical leadership. The biblical leadership is the reverse of that.
Yeah.
It's saying, okay, here are my faults, here are my weaknesses, God use those.
Yeah.
Pete Scazzaro does he's got Emotionally Healthy Leadership is his book and think podcast, and on there he talks about Paul quite a lot and uses an example of Paul had this thorn in his side. He's talking to, and he's sort of writing basically in against these super apostles, these like perfect Christians who were like preaching, they were great orators, you know, they said all the right stuff, they did all these cool things, and they seem to have everything going for them, and he's saying, no, like, you've completely missed the point. That's not what leadership looks like. Leadership looks like knowing your weaknesses and actually talking about them. And I think that's the first thing to understand when we're trying to work this out, because that then means, okay, leadership is accessible. I can be a leader. I don't need to be perfect.
Yeah, and like boasting in weakness. Yeah.
Exactly. If leadership is a perfection thing, then none of us are good enough. Leadership has to come from a place of actually imperfection and God using that. And so, yeah, I think everyone has a role to play. That role will look different. But I think it's first appreciating, like, I'm good enough. Well, I'm not good enough, actually.
But
God is good enough through me.
And I think people want to get behind people that they can connect with.
Yeah.
And you can't connect with someone who is like a shiny, I'm better than everyone kind of person. You get behind the people that... like sharing your struggles, understand what it looks like to find something hard, or people you can relate to. And I think if someone is like unattainable, I think that can be quite hard to
and the weight of that, we've talked about it, like, you know, if you look at Christian leaders around the world, that platform that they get built up on, often not even by themselves, of this perfection, we're all going to fall short. And so when they fall short, that fall down from that high platform they've been put on is even greater, and you know, that causes there's so much fallout from that.
It's a whole podcast episode.
There's a whole podcast episode on that,
I think the verse that like sticks out to me is, my power is made perfect in weakness. And actually, like, it's like we've been saying, it's leaders that know their weaknesses, who maybe actually feel unqualified for the role, and it is God who calls them, God who qualifies them, God who equips them to go on and do incredible things.
Yeah. Give me an example of that, though. Like, I feel like that's, again, you hear that a lot, don't you? But I think sometimes it can be quite hard to like visualize what that actually means, to boast in your weakness, or to see God's power made perfect in weakness. Like, how have you seen that at university, if you have seen it?
Boasting your weakness at university. God,
yeah.
You'd have to be a brave person to do that at university. In a very like crude example, it would be on my cricket team, the captain not bowling himself or like not batting himself number one or actually even benching themselves and being like, no, actually like the best thing for the team right now is for you to do that role or you to take that role. Like that's true leadership, knowing what's best for the collective and sort of not really cool. putting yourself on a pedestal would probably be the best example at university, I think.
Yeah.
I think the Bible gives us examples as well. Like immediately, like it's Jeremiah and David who kind of like come to mind as people who feel unqualified, too young, unable, and God uses them. And I think knowing that we have the same God there today. But it's like it's not an easy thing to do.
Yeah.
And especially like, boasting you in your weakness at university, it feels counterproductive in a sense as well.
100%. And it's scary.
Yeah.
I don't want people to know what my like weaknesses are.
Yeah, you put yourself on the line and it's vulnerable, but it's also powerful.
Yeah. Especially when you're in an environment like university where you're like the whole point of it is to achieve or to gain something or to you're there to work, like you're there to attain something.
Yeah.
You know, when you're in a when you're doing an interview for your course or like an interview for a job, like you don't talk about how terrible you are at whatever or
no.
Yeah.
You instantly talk about or you even turn your weaknesses into like actually that's a strength. You know, you don't show what your weaknesses are.
It's that classic interview question of like what is your greatest weakness? And like you say and then you're like, but this is great because this is
my weakness.
I work too hard.
Yeah.
I can't stop working.
They were like, I work better. I can't work by myself. I work better in a team. My weakness is that I'm not very good at. Yeah, exactly. You know that sort of thing.
I'm a perfectionist.
Yeah. John, what do you think about these things? What does leadership look like without a title? Or what does it mean to boast in your weakness?
I think you can implicitly boast in your weakness. Obviously, that I feel like that's a contradiction. Boasting implicitly, but like you know, if you're with a friend and they know you've got a task to do. Just being open about how, you know, you could ask to pray with them or just being open and vulnerable to people that you trust with tasks that you've got to do, not keeping it to yourself. In a way, I guess that's boasting.
I want to ask about popularity. How much does popularity influence leadership at uni? And is that a good or a dangerous thing?
Especially in like voting, you know, it's all university clubs and things, it's normally a vote, a public vote. Winning votes is important. I think the trap you can fall into is if I get this leadership role, I will be popular. And I think that's dangerous because then if you do get that leadership role, how you then behave after that is probably going to be quite heavily affected by sort of why you wanted to be that leader. Popularity at university is a weird thing because, you know, at school it's very simple. It's like, did you get invited to the parties? You know, were you cool? Would you be the person that everyone's like, oh, I wish I was like this person? At uni, it's not like that as much. I think that kind of goes out the window, which is a really nice thing.
Unless you're a BNOC.
Yes, unless you're a BNOC, like some of our friends in the audience. unless you're a BNOC. But often BNOCs aren't like cool. Like, do you know what I mean? Like BNOCs, we had a...
Did you hear that often?
But... Cool is doesn't really exist in university, and I guess university voting leadership things probably are quite heavily popularity based, just because of the way it's run.
I think it depends on the society, doesn't it?
Yeah, of course.
I know in my university that the like student union people, they were not popular. In fact, like there was
no. Well, this is the point. Yeah.
So it's all subjective, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think that phrase immediately comes to mind of like, it's not what you know, but it's who you know. And I think...
Nepotism, yeah.
But like, I think that is very true. Like, it is popular people who go for things that like you do have to put yourself out there and have a following in uni, in societies, to get votes, to get positions.
What do you think? Well, John, you're very much in this kind of world of like voting and...
I am. I ran in an election, and I drew.
You did.
That was cool. But which is annoying because I had a friend who was in London for the day. You know, one vote, she was here, would have won. But
it's like Brexit all over again.
Well, I guess if you're striving for popularity, you know, you're starting to be a leader and popularity is like a main goal of yours, I think you're getting it wrong from the get-go. Like, that's not, that is not the point. Obviously, it depends what you're a leader of, but, you know, ultimately we're leading for the glory of God, and we're leading for the kingdom of God to be brought down here on earth. And, yeah, popularity just isn't part of that. It can come with it, because naturally, I think as Christians, you know, Jesus was quite popular when he did what he did, but it's because he stuck out and stood out. He didn't strive to be that, I don't think.
Yeah.
So that's an important point I'd make. Yeah. Don't strive for popularity.
Mm.
Like, I think I did a decent job, to be honest. But, like, I didn't strive to do that.
Yeah. Mm.